Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is The Triple Threat with Sean Pendergast and Rich Lord.
I'm not a man of many words, but this thing means something to me.
Be a part of the show at 713-572-4610.
And now, kids, look out for the warning track and cheer on Big Unit.
This is Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. Since the draft is only 6 days away, I will say it. Happy Football Friday to all of you. It is great to be with you. We are live at Little Woodrow's in Midtown on Brazos. Come by. It's Good Friday with a capital G and a capital F, but it's also Good Friday with a lowercase g because it is beautiful, beautiful weather outside.
Oh, man.
Drinks are flowing. We've got a good show lined up for you. We're going into another great weekend of sports here in the city of Houston. What could be better? We're with you till 6 o'clock tonight, so we hand it over to Texans All Access. My name is Sean Pendergast. To my right is Rich Lord. Rich, this is a great day to be alive, my man.
It is absolutely a great day to be alive. The breeze blowing through this place, inside and out, because it's open air, just makes you go...
Yeah, it's nice.
It's a great place. And for us, fond memories here always, and I'll always be mentioning it in the opening segment, November of 2017, early November of 2017. And some of you are like, oh, I know what that was. Early November of 2017, there was some parade going on about a block from here.
There sure was.
Happened to be, and this is a phrase I never thought I'd use, the Astros World Series Championship Parade.
And we were here. we were basically a stop along the parade route for it.
The overflow, I guess, is what we were. And we were knee-deep in it, and it was an unforgettable day.
My sons came into town last night. This is the best part about having my sons go to school in Texas, one at TCU, one at Baylor. The TCU one drives to Waco, picks up the Baylor one. They drive into town last night. Amy and I go out to dinner with them. Very decadent, a lot of wine flowing, things like that. And then we came home, and we drank and watched TV into the wee hours, laughed the whole time. And as they were leaving this morning, Sammy, my younger son, you know both my sons, my younger son goes, Pop, where's the show at today? And I said, Little Woodrow's in Midtown. He goes, ah, the parade, Little Woodrow's. You remember Sammy came in for the parade. Sammy was a freshman at Baylor.
That.
He drove in. He drove in with one of his buddies who was also a freshman for the parade. I'm not going to out his buddy on the air.
That's a shared memory right there.
His buddy got pinched for having a beer in his hand at the age of 18 here at Little Woodrow's.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so we always think of it as that Little Woodrow's. So.
It's a rite of passage.
Yeah. It was. So we both get a big chuckle out of it every time. But you're right, Rich. This Little Woodrow's in particular has sentimental, fond memories for us here.
It does.
Because of what it's tied to. It's tied to a championship. It's tied to winning. It's tied to one of the greatest moments in what we hope is a long sequence of great moments going forward in the history of this great city.
Sure looks like we got a pretty good shot at that. Not sentimental and fond for Sammy's buddy, but, you know, everybody has their own unique experience.
I've seen him since then. He seems to have recovered just fine.
Don't get me going on the drinking age, because the fact that it's 18, I find ridiculous.
Well, let's not
that
go
fact
there.
That it's not 18.
Let's stay in a good mood on
yes,
a Friday.
Yes, we'll move forward in a positive manner.
Are you as excited as I am? I just said this to John and Landry during the toss, and I was thinking about this last night, because this time next week, it'll be the aftermath of the first round of the draft. This time next week, we'll know how the Texans deployed that 23rd pick. And the reason I phrase it that way is because they may deploy it to use a player, and they may deploy it to go get more draft capital. We'll know this time next week. But, Rich, our long nightmare is almost over. We're 6 days away from our nightmare of 730 days without a first-round pick.
Been a long time.
Are you as excited as I am about that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait. There's so many different options the Texans have in front of them with the draft capital they possess that wasn't even obviously part of the conversation a year ago. And with so many different options available to them, it's, you know, perfect for us to speculate about, our listeners to speculate on. And I'm jacked up, actually, to be at NRG Stadium on Thursday night for the draft. I think that was just something that that we learned about this week.
Yeah, we'll all be out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Rich, and we'll talk about this in a little more detail later on this hour, but just in general, I'm curious your take. You and I both heard the Brian Gain press conference yesterday.
Right.
We played big chunks of it here on the air yesterday. Mm-hmm. And You want to make that buzzing noise don't you?
What are you talking about?
I know
about?
You do. Because I know the look on your face.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
I've been doing the show with you long enough.
No idea what you're talking about.
But we hear, specific to what Brian Gaines said,
yeah.
I'm curious if you agree with me on this. After hearing him talk multiple times, some unsolicited, about letting the board talk to them, trusting their process, trusting their scouts, answering questions about best available and leaving that as an option open, and also looking at his behavior in last year's draft, taking a position that I don't think was a position of need, just the best player available with what was their first pick last year in Justin Reed. I still think it's going to be tackle or corner, but I've bumped up to the chance that it could be something other than that to like 20%.
That's always a possibility.
Do you agree with 20%?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
That's always a possibility, given how they think. And, I know we've talked about this as well, but the Justin Reed pick is not a bad example of that sort of thinking that, hey, this is a guy we had way higher on our board, may not be our highest priority at the moment, but how do you pass up on this guy? So, sure, I think that's always in play. I'm starting to the whole scale or percentages, whatever you want to talk about, I may be leaning more now toward cornerback based on some of what Brian Gain has said, that possibly more likely if they hold on to the 23rd pick. Because if everything we're reading is true about the offensive tackle market, it's very unlikely there'll be that tackle at number 23 that's worth the 23rd overall pick in this draft that the Texans have to take with that pick.
The people who know what they're talking about, the sense I get in kind of aggregating all of their opinions, and when I say know what they're talking about, I'm talking about people who watch offensive line play, who watch it play to play. It sounds like to me, Rich, that there's a couple guys at the top, and then they're probably going to be gone by 23.
Williams and Dillard.
Jonah Williams and Dillard. They're both ahead of everybody else.
Yes.
And then the guy the Texans could potentially take at 23 may not be that different than the guy they could take at 54 or 55.
That's my point.
Yeah. Whereas the corners that are there that could potentially be there are guys that you look at and go, that's a 23rd overall pick. It aligns more with the grade. My big question is, will there be either a corner or a tackle, both, that align with the grade? Or is there going to be a player at another position who they have a grade on of, say, 12, and they're sitting there at 23, and they go, you know what? It's not like we're loaded at any position. Can you think of the only positions I can think of, Rich, that they would definitely not take somebody in the first round?
Well, quarterback, obviously.
Quarterback for sure. But inside linebacker, like I'm just thinking of the positions of need on the team. I'm not talking about the players on the board.
Yeah, inside linebacker, I think wide receiver is very unlikely.
Wide receiver unlikely, inside linebacker unlikely. I think tight end is unlikely just based on the fact they took two of them last year and signed one this offseason.
Right.
Although Jeremiah had DJ Hawkinson dropping to them at 23, whatever. But I think inside linebacker, wide receiver for sure. Other than that, I mean, people are going to say, hey, what about, they got Clowney, they got Watt, they got Merciless. Merciless has 1 year left on his deal. You're in a standoff with Clowney right now, and Watt's 30. I could easily, if an edge rusher drops there at 23 that they see as exceptional, could easily see them taking one there.
I can't drop safety out of the equation either.
Sure.
If it's, it obviously was a bit of a surprise last year. They used their highest pick on a safety. I don't think it's out of the question. Again, this would have to be totally, wow, this guy's falling into our lap kind of situation. But taking a safety after Andre Howell's retirement, after losing Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu from that safety core, I don't see that. I see that as possibly in play with even any of the top three picks.
We'll talk more about this actually a little later on this hour. I think Brian Gain is trying to accomplish something in which I don't know if people understand the degree of difficulty of what Brian Gain was touting him and his personnel staff as trying to accomplish this time next week. We'll get into that later this hour.
By the way, you saw Denver confirmed, and it's where he is. Kareem Jackson's a safety. He's now a full-time safety.
That runs contrary to what we were hearing.
Yeah, they started their offseason program, and they were asked, and they said safety.
He's got more value at $11 million as a safety than a corner who will routinely get picked on.
It only makes sense.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Rockets have game three tomorrow night. They were wheels up today to Salt Lake City. James Harden has been great these first two games of this series, the same way he's been great throughout this season. James Harden says, though, things are going to get a lot tougher in Utah.
They have a different kind of swag at home, though. Our swag, our confidence is where it needs to be. We just need to bring down to the road. And we all know how tough it is to win in Utah, but we've done it last year. And I think we're focused and we're on another level to where defensively we're engaged. you know, and I mean, they didn't shoot the ball well from three tonight, but they'll make some of those at home.
They're not going to beat the Jazz by 32 points and 20 points, Rich, but I'm curious if you're surprised by this. The Jazz, as of this morning, on one of the sites that I go to for this type of stuff,
right,
were favored by 3.5 points over the Rockets tomorrow night.
That's a little bit of a surprise.
Surprised they're favored.
Given the Rockets' plus 52-point differential in the first two games. Granted, those games were in Houston, and everything James Harden just said is true. He was being very being very respectful of what they're going to experience up there. But I don't know. I can't help but get the feeling that what he talked about specifically in that soundbite about how much more engaged they are on the defensive end has turned this matchup with the Jazz into a mismatch with the Jazz.
Yeah. Golden State got things straightened out last night.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, they did.
We were so excited, me and my sons, to sit down and watch the Clippers and the Warriors.
Yeah.
And by the time we got home from the restaurant, it was middle of the first quarter, and the Warriors are up by like 13.
Not a gigantic surprise.
No.
Side note. Kevin Durant has not avoided a technical in any
Did
of the...
Did he get teed up again last night?
He got teed up again last night, tussling with Jermichael Green on something where it just looked like they were jawing at each other after a little bit of a encounter. And I've read that the NBA could go back and rescind the technical because it was kind of a touchy sort of foul. This is the game where Steph Curry was in some uncharacteristic foul trouble. They were calling it pretty tight in that game last night. But the reason I mention this is Durant's now got three technicals. And while I think it would be unlikely that he reaches the seventh technical in this postseason that would come with a one-game suspension, it's something for Rockets fans to keep an eye on, that's for sure.
Rich, you and I have spent the better part of the last week trying to justify why it's better for the Rockets to be playing the Warriors in the second round. This is one reason why it's not, because that would be theoretically another four or five games in which Kevin Durant could pick up a few more technicals, and a seven technical suspension would occur in the middle of the Western Conference Finals against the Houston Rockets. It's a small thing.
That's why Pat Beverly needs to pick up his antagonist game. And we need to talk about who might be most likely in the first couple of games of the Warriors series to get Durant to blow up.
Patrick Beverly dressed up as Daniel House. That's what we need. Who physically is Patrick Beverly most similar to on the Rockets roster?
You know, I've talked about this. I'm just blown away that every game Durant has been unable to control himself.
He's been that way since he got to Golden State.
Well, that's true.
Guy's had a bug up his ass for the last 2.5 years now.
This is true.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, a month ago when he was chastising all the media for the free agency questions, that was really nasty, Kevin Durant.
Real quick, because we got to get out. Did you happen to see there's a video floating around out there of a reporter that had five of the Warriors sitting there in sort of a group setting, like a 60 Minutes type of deal?
That was 60 Minutes.
Okay. And they asked him, do you guys ever think about going and playing for another team somewhere?
John Wortham was the reporter.
John Wortham.
Longtime SI writer.
Steph Curry, Sean Livingston, and I forget who the third person was.
Iguodala was there.
Iguodala was the other one. He was the one answering the question.
Yeah.
And Curry and Livingston are both just laughing like, no, we would never think that. Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant didn't change their facial expression the entire answer.
Much is being made of that.
I love it.
For sure.
I love it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.